I just like this. It's a wonderful way to picture the life that God has called us as Christians to partake in. That is a high calling, the high calling of God. Living righteously, living with God, it sets us on a higher endeavor than what we were in prior to our calling in Jesus Christ. You may be important, you may have important duties, you may have great responsibilities, there may be numbers of people that trust you, or their care to a certain degree is entrusted in you. Yet, we find that when you became a Christian, when each of us became a Christian, no matter what rung we think we see ourselves on the social ladder, we have all just moved up to an equal level, but a higher level. In our calling in Jesus Christ, that what God has called us to partake in. Now, this morning, first of all, I'd like for us to consider some of the heights that we are called to. That is, that there are certain things that are going to be changing in order to elevate us to that position. Most certainly, just the idea that we are forgiven of our sins, just the idea that we have become, sons and daughters of God. Just that idea that we are in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's elevating. That's putting us up there. But we find that the change in our life, the change of, well, first of all, the change of our thinking once we become a child of God. When we have accepted that calling of God and God raises us up on this higher plane, then even our thinking changes. Because like the proverb writer said over in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, that our thinking makes us what we are. What it is that we think on, that is what we shall be. That's what we become. Now it's interesting, you've got to kind of think about this for just a little bit. I don't want you to think about it too long because we have some other thoughts to consider. It won't take you long. But you see, a person's not necessarily what they think they are, but we are what we think. Okay? Now, just write that one down if you're not exactly sure yet what all that means. But sometimes, we might think we are something when we're nothing. That the Scriptures even say that. But we are what we think. We are what we think upon. And so, if we're going to be living and been called to this high life in God, we've been given this high calling, as the apostle says there, in Jesus Christ, then we are called to some high thinking. And we get some good insight into this from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, when he says, "If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth." You see, one of the things that you can notice about the life of Jesus Christ and what He was able to accomplish in this life, Jesus gives us the secret, and in fact, it's just almost not a secret because He just makes it so obvious by mentioning it so many times, and especially as John records his gospel, his biography of the life of Jesus. Jesus keeps saying, what I do because that's what I see the Father doing. What I say because that's what I hear the Father saying, you see. So in a sense, Jesus' head was always in Jesus' mind. Jesus' thinking was always in God's will, what God desired, what God wanted. And so Jesus was able to accomplish the things that He accomplished. And one of the reasons that He gives credit to that is because He simply was doing, He was simply thinking, He was simply about what the Father would have Him to be about. And so we find that we are then encouraged, being raised together with Christ is a reference back to the second chapter in the 12th verse, just a few paragraphs earlier than what Paul said there when he said there, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And so you see, since God's raised us, God's elevated us, God's put us on this higher plane to this high calling, and then our thinking needs to elevate up to that point. Our thinking needs to be where we have been elevated to, and that is we've been elevated, as he says here, to be with Jesus Christ. And so our thinking is as it is with him in heaven. It is a high calling, and it is God's high calling. We find then that we need the best literature to stimulate our thoughts. What are we going to think upon, and how are we going to think upon this? And you know, do we have any direction? Do we have anything to help guide us and lead us to a greater thinking? I don't know for sure what it is about man, but it is something that apparently that God has enabled within us as far as being created, that we like to read. We like to know what's going on. We like to, you know, get new ideas. It must be because I see people all the time with their phones out here in front of them reading things, looking at things, you know, checking things. And so there are all these ideas that are coming in through these books and by our screen, on our screens and such as that, you know, that we are consuming all the time. And we find that if it's a news station and they want you to be watching as much of them, you know, as they can get you to watch so that they can sell to advertisers and say, hey, you know, I get Bob, Sally, Sue, and Jim. You know, I have all of them watching and they watch this many hours out of the day type of thing. And so they are presenting information and people get to thinking along that line. And so the information that people consume is, you know, what they think. And, you know, I'm trying not to get too political here, but, you know, if you watch certain news coverage, you will think certain things about, you know, certain people. Without you know, getting too direct here, let's see if I can generalize it a little more, but yet give some specifics. If I'm watching entertainment shows all the time, then pretty soon I'm going to be seeing things about celebrities, right? And so I'm going to be getting news on celebrities. And what it is that I hear about celebrities, the news that I receive, is pretty soon the way I begin to think about them. And so if I'm getting news about, you know, the stock market, pretty soon that's the way I'm going to be thinking about the stock market. Well, if I'm getting news about politics, you see, the news that I'm getting, the perspective that I'm getting it from, is the way that I'm going to be thinking about politics. And so we have all of those things out there vying for our attention, getting us to think along those lines, when God says, hey, I've elevated you. I've made you my people. And I've given you something else to think about. Something other. Something more. So, if we're going to have this high thinking, then we need to have, you know, the best literature. And where are you going to find the best literature? Where are you going to find the best ideas in order to think? And we're not talking about just positive, feel-good thinking, even though there's nothing wrong with feeling good about your thinking and being positive in your thinking. But you see, God's Word, the Scripture, is more than that. It's thoughts that improve us. It's thoughts that elevate us. They are ideas that do that. So now we need high thinking. We've been called to that. God has said He's raised us up to think differently. Well, we also need then high determination. It's not enough just to think about things. You know, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, that's one of my challenges, is to get out of just thinking, you know. We have to do more than just thinking. We have to be now determined to incorporate that, to use that. That in some way is going to be beneficial to us, and so we have this determination, you know, to do this. So, it helps to motivate us in doing the will of God. Like the apostles' answer over in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 when they were told, you know, not to preach in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, Peter and the apostles answered them and said, well, we must obey God rather than men. And so you see, high motives will help us live up to this high calling. If we have this motivation that God's called us to be something, He hadn't called us just to receive. Yes, we receive a lot of good things as being Christians, don't we? God gives us a lot of good things. You know, one of the words that we like from the Scriptures, I suppose that you like as well, is blessings. I like being blessed, don't you? And we talk about blessings that we receive from God. And that's good. But you see, God didn't call us just so that He could bless us, just so that He could give us good things. He has called us to be something else, to be something different. And so we need determination to do that. And one of the things that helps with determination is right motives. And the right motive is, you know, I want to please God. That's one of the things Jesus talked about. He says, you know, because what I see the Father, what I hear from the Father, well, why did He care so much about what the Father thought and what the Father did that He could see in the Father and He would do? Because He said, I want to please my Father. So, we also, because God has blessed us, because God has elevated us to this high calling, that we should want to we should want to live up to that calling. We should want to be motivated to that. We need high associations to help us. You know, that's one of the reasons that God has given for us not to be alone, for us to be called together. He's not only called me out, He's called you out, He's called a lot of people out. But not only has He called us out of the world so as to elevate us, you know, to His position, to His rank, but He's called a lot of other people to do that, and He's called us together. And we look at, you know, passages like Hebrews chapter 10 and 25, you know, that teachers and preachers so commonly like, you know, not forsaking our own assembling together. But what is that? Why is that? You know, what is that about? Well, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, he talks about, you know, if you're walking alone, you might fall down. And you might hurt yourself. You might sprain something. You can't get back up. But if you're walking with someone else, they can help you. He says, if you are traveling alone and someone decides they want to rob you and they jump you, you know, and they are going to beat you. But then, you know, Vince comes out around the corner there, you know, because Vince has been traveling with me. And all of a sudden they go, hey, he's not alone. Look, he's got tough guy Vince with him. And so, you know, now it's like, hey, you know, it's not just me. You're going to have to go through Vince first. Isn't that right? I mean, they'd have to go through. You would get in front of me, right? Okay, yeah, see. I thought so. And so here we are, you see. So two together. He talks about, you know, you take a string or you take a strand of fabric and you take another one and you wrap it around it. And then you take another one and you wrap that one together with it. He says, you know, a three-cord fold is not easily broken. And so there's that advantage. So God not only gives us this best literature, this best way of thinking, He gives us a company of people, you see, to help us. Help us with our determination. Help motivate us. I start getting tired on the road. And you go, oh, come on, Joe, you can just take a few more steps. We can make it over. See, look, right over there, there's town. There's where we need to get to. It's not far. I would have quit, you know, if you hadn't have been with me, type of thing. So we need that high determination, and others can help us with that. So we're called to high thinking. Our thinking changes. It's a greater thinking. It's a higher thinking. It's a better thinking. We are called to a greater determination. It's not just we're trying to please ourselves any longer. It's not just that, well, okay, you know, maybe this person depends upon me, but, you know, here's what I want. But yet we are now realizing that we are seeking to please God. We're in a relationship with Him. He's raised us up to this great place. And so now we want to keep that place. We want to live there. We want to please God. So we have this high determination. Well, the third thing is then we have high living. That is, now we're going to live here in these heights. Over in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and the 9th verse, the Hebrew writer talks about those who have been participants in the high calling. You know, they've been living this great life in God. They've been absorbing these blessings, but then, you know, they are not appreciative of them. They don't change. You know, they don't begin to think, you know, higher. Their determination's not greater. Their living isn't doing any better. He says, but, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. So, we see that for those of us who get it, who realize, who see the picture, that God has raised us up, God's elevated us, God has called us to a higher life, to a high calling. Well, then, we go, you know, I can do better things. If God raised me to this position, then God must know that I can, you know, accomplish this. I can do this. Better things of you, because God saw better things of us. God saw better things of you. The message, the gospel, went out unto all. Many were called, but few are chosen. But if you have accepted that calling, if you have been chosen of God, then God knows that we can do, that we can accomplish it, that we will, you know, do this higher living. And we can be assured of this. The 10th verse then says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love which you showed toward His name, and that you ministered unto His saints and still minister. So, we find that God's not going to forget this. God remembers. God knows what we are about and that we are accomplishing this. And so, if we're doing this, just know that God recognizes it. God identifies it. And He has promised to reward us for that. We see then as well that we have been referring to, but we haven't necessarily looked at it specifically, and that is to say, yes, God has called us to be children of His. God's called us to be sons and daughters of His. Well, that means then that we've been called to be in a higher form of living, right? So what is God? Well, He's great. He's wonderful. He's King. So if God has called us to be His children and He's King, then we would be maybe some kind of royalty. If God is great and He's called us to be His children and we're in that region, so He's somewhere along the line, we are greater than what we were to begin with. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You see, we cannot answer this call. We cannot be elevated by God to this higher plane without being changed in some way, without things being different, without thinking better, higher, without being motivated by pleasing God and having a greater determination and realizing that our way of living is even greater, is even bigger, better. Something that a high calling does, though, if, let's say you are, if you can think of this in your mind, we are on this earthly plane, living in this earthly life, and the gospel comes, the good news, and it's taught us about Jesus Christ, God's love, all that, you know, He's tried to do for us, and He's calling us to that life. And then we receive it and we've been elevated to this greater place, a higher calling, as we've been looking at. That means we're not in the same place that we were before, right? I mean, we understand that. Now, it'd be great if We were the last one to join in on this. Now hear me out, because you're going, the last one? Now wait a minute. Well, remember, he that's last shall be first. So there you go. but everyone else has already done this. Everyone on earth has already joined it, you know, has already accepted this call, has already been put there. And so now we get to join them. Now we are there, you know. So everyone, but we realize that not everyone is there, don't we? Not everyone that is called answers. Not everyone that is called is chosen. Not all, even though God wishes that all would not perish, but repent. Not all will they? And so if we are in a different place than where we were, I'm just trying to make this as kind as can be, because it sounds kind of arrogant to say, well, we're no longer there. We're better than that. We're better than you see. And so it's, okay, so we are. We have to admit that. We are. It's just that God hadn't called us to have that kind of attitude, has He? So you see, a high calling separates us. We're no longer what we were before. And we're no longer like most of the people either that haven't accepted the call. We find that even among the saints, Jesus illustrates it there in Matthew chapter 5, where He talks about that He, you know, will separate those that have come before Him, and He will place the sheep on His right hand, but the goats upon His left hand. There is that separation that will take place in judgment. And so when we're called up to judgment, the sheep shall be separated from the goats. Well, we find that that separation is just a physical separation that denotes the difference between those that Jesus is going to say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant, versus depart from Me. Because that separation really took place, is to take place, when we obeyed the gospel. Like over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 18, when He says, come ye out from among them. And that is that we're no longer living like we live. We're no longer living like, you know, the majority of the world lives. We're still here. We're still among them. And at some point, there will be that, if we can think of it, well, the easiest way for us to think about it is in physical terms. But in physical terms, it's to be separated from all of that. At some point, we find that Jesus illustrates, you know, in a parable about the tares that are sown among the wheat. And then at judgment, they'll be separated. He talks about, you know, all the fish that are caught, and at some point they'll be separated. And at some point we find the sheep and the goats will be separated. Here we live among all of that, but we don't live as that, you see. We're separated from that because we have a higher calling. And so a higher calling separates us from anything that would keep us in sin. Doesn't mean, of course, that we're no longer in the world. But we're no longer as the world. We're no longer like the world. We've been separated from that. The third thing and the final thing that I'd like for us to notice, as far as the final being the major point, is that a high calling blesses. So a high calling changes our thinking to a greater thinking, to a higher thinking. A high calling separates us from where we were. And now we see that a high calling then blesses us. Yes, we talked about a moment ago how that we'd like to be blessed, and there's nothing wrong with that. And in this calling, we will be blessed. Over in Luke chapter 19, we read this familiar event. Let's just read it, and you'll then be reminded of why we call it a familiar event. We're just going to read the first six verses of it. We're not going to read all of it. But here we see that He entered, and that is Jesus, of course, and He was passing through Jericho. And behold, a man called by name Zacharias, And he was a chief publican, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was of little stature. And he ran on before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And now, this is just to illustrate this point that we're talking about as far as a high calling, blessing us. And we can see in one sense it literally does, even from this event. But we do want to take some things from here to help establish this idea. First of all, we bump down here to the sixth verse. And how is it that Zacchaeus received the Lord? He received him joyfully, didn't he? In other words, made him happy, didn't it? He was happy to have Jesus. Well, what's being blessed, right? Blessed is being made happy, isn't it? And so we see here that Zacchaeus was blessed by Jesus coming to his house, wasn't he? He was joyful for that. Okay, not stretching things too much there. I'm telling you that we're just using this to illustrate. But as we illustrate this, we find that Zacchaeus, because he cannot see over the crowd, he climbs up in the tree to do what? To be able to see Jesus better, you see. So a high calling blesses us. God has raised us up. One of the reasons, I suppose, that God describes our relationship with Him and our calling to be a Christian as a high calling is because that's one of the things that we see about being blessed as being raised up. You know, we see it as something being greater. We see it as something being higher. And there are probably some reasons for that, because from a higher perspective, you can see things better, can't you? You can see more. You see, Zacchaeus, quite possibly, literally here, wasn't going to be able to see Jesus because he wasn't high enough. But when he got high enough, when he was elevated, he could see Jesus. So when we have been raised up, do we not understand that like Jesus, while he was here on earth and we see him, it seems like with his head in the clouds, because he's always saying, I want to please my Father, therefore I see my Father. I see the things that he does. And the things that he does, I do. And he says, because my head is up here and my ears are here in his presence, he said, I can hear him. And so the things that I say are the things that I hear from him. All because Jesus, even though he was here on earth, he was still on a high place, wasn't he? He still had his head in heaven, you might say. And so from there you can see God much more clearly than you can here on earth. Here looking through the world and all the things of the world, we find that those things would try to hide God from us. They'd try to keep us from seeing God, wouldn't they? And we're just too short, you see, because there will be those things all the time that come in and block our vision of God, that appeal to us and say, oh, well, you know, I wanted to see God, but hey, I see this over here. I think I'll just check this out while I'm here. But now Zacchaeus, because he's up there, he can see. He can see Jesus. And now that we have been blessed with a high calling, we can see Jesus better too, can't we? But not only that, I want you to notice here, as we look in the fifth verse, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said unto him, what's that? Zacchaeus is no longer lost amongst the crowd, is he? He's no longer down here on the earthly plane. He's no longer down here on the lower level where he might not be seen. But not only can he see the Lord from where he is, but now the Lord can see him. Because he is in a higher place. And so there is that blessing that up here, being elevated by God to a higher calling, we are better seen by God as well. Do we not identify that, recognize that, and see that? And that is a blessing. And therefore, we, as Zacchaeus, receive that joyfully. We are blessed. But think about quickly some of the things that we can see from up here. Over in Matthew chapter 6 and 25, we can see that this earth is temporary, and we can see that the things that we have will perish. We can see that they do not fully satisfy. We can see that worrying over them and being anxious for them does us no good. And so from here, up here, we get the view that they're just temporary, that they don't fully satisfy us. And why are we even anxious over them to begin with? Jesus said, we can't really change anything anyway, so why be anxious? Over in Luke chapter 12, we can see that we are not the sum of our possessions. I know that that's what the world, and that's how the world ranks us, and one of the rungs of society is, well, how much do you have? What all do you own? What kind of money do you make? You see? But from up here we can see, as Jesus said, that tomorrow we might die, or even this night, as He gave there the parable of the rich man building the barns, you know. Tonight you shall die, and then who shall these things be? You see, so though they are significant, they are not the most important. And we can see that from up here, can't we? See all the things that we can begin to see from up here? From up here we can see that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the vainglory of life that John talks about over in 1 John chapter 2 and 16 and 17 are temporary as well. And that just as the earth is going to burn up, they too shall burn up. And so, the world continues to chase after those things. And when we were living down here on this lower plane, we thought all those things were of great importance. But we now see that they're just temporary, that they only satisfy temporarily as well. And so, we're blessed with a greater vision, even of the sins of this world. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, we can see that God has prepared a place for us. A place that is eternal in the heavens with Him. And that they are precious and they are great. The promises they themselves that tell us of those are precious and great because of what it is that is promised to us. And so from here we can see what others do not see. Oh, I don't see a God. I see heavens, but I don't see any mansions. Hey, up there in the space station, do you guys see any mansions that you can live in forever? They're not high enough. They're not in the high calling. We've been given a high calling. We can see that, can't we? Even when it can't be seen through telescopes or from spaceships. We can see it because God has revealed that view to us, hasn't He? The high calling. Wow. What a fabulous thing that God has provided and offered to us in this high calling. Now, we can stay down here on this low land of sin and sorrow, as the song says. And we can wallow in it, as Jesus talks about the hog that wallows in the mire. Or we can accept the calling of Jesus Christ. The great calling, the calling that calls us to high places. Where do you want to be? Do you want to remain here? Or do you want that high calling that's in Christ Jesus? We invite you to accept Jesus' call to step up, to be elevated, to rise above all of that. Won't you come as we stand and sing?